Ask your legal questions by calling the show at 707-636-1350.
Hi, folks. Charlie Cochran live in the KSRO studio with you every Monday from noon to 12:30. I come in here with my partner, Rachel Erickson, and we talk about some aspect of the law. We also field your legal questions if you want to give us a call down here at 636-1350. That's 636-1350, and we'll try to answer your question live on the air. Now, we always try to come up with some legal topic, and today what I thought we would talk about, Rachel, is we could talk about head injury, but in the context of nursing homes and senior care living environments. Now, when we're talking about nursing homes, you've had several of these cases. We do take cases if you have a relative or a spouse that has been injured while being in a nursing home or a skilled care center. You can give us a call because we do handle those kind of cases.
Yeah, typically there are two different kinds of elderly living arrangements that are made. Well, there can be a bunch of them, but the ones that mostly we find the most problem with are going to be skilled nursing facilities, which are going to be your convalescent homes and, you know, things of that nature. There tend to be larger and a lot more clinical settings. They're skilled nursing facilities, so they actually have a good, or they're supposed to have a really good and skilled nursing staff for people with higher levels of needs, people that are a definite fall risk, people that have increased dementia and are not able to take care of themselves and need skilled nurses that can come and help them with their activities of daily living. So that's one. And then the other one that we see a lot are residential care facilities for the elderly, RCFEs, the residential care, which often are smaller. They don't necessarily have to be, but those are for the elderly who actually most of the time can kind of take care of themselves, but need help, need assistance, need somebody there for certain duties, certain care, but they aren't as high a level most of the time. They don't need a skilled nursing facility where you have RNs and a lot of certifications that meet government standards, either federal or state or both.
Now, those are usually in residential neighborhoods?
Some of them are. Not all of them, but some of them are. You can have them up to 100 rooms, so you can have bigger facilities, but you will see that the level of care is usually lower. But yeah, sometimes you'll see them in neighborhoods, and as a matter of fact, I have one in my neighborhood, and I think there are probably maybe five elderly residents there, and their families come and visit them occasionally, and every once in a while we see an ambulance come by, or you see the hospice workers come in. And as a matter of fact, my ex-husband's wife is a hospice nurse, and so I see her once in a while drop by the neighbor's house. And there are different levels of care as a resident that are required by the government, minimum standards, and you hope that they meet that they exceed the minimum standards. But there are different standards for the skilled nursing center versus the residential care facility. And there aren't a ton of skilled nursing facilities, so we're probably familiar with, you know, most of the ones that we see around here. And if you have an adult or an elderly person in your family and have put them in one of these care facilities, then you'll know kind of where, you know, which ones are available locally. Residential care facilities are a little bit harder to find sometimes, but you do need to be really super careful about where you place your elderly loved ones, because bad things do happen at these places, and sometimes the level of care that is needed is not met. And there are minimum levels that are required by the government, as I said, but you are going to be looking for some place that doesn't just meet the minimums, because the minimums have not really increased over time as they should. There may be more residents in the home now. There may be higher levels of care needed. And if they're just barely scraping by with the median, with the minimum required, a lot of times, number one, that is not true. They're not actually meeting the minimum. Or the minimum is not enough for the number of patients that are in there and the level of care needed.
Let's talk about some of the examples that we've had over the years. Now, we've had a number of them. Let's talk about the fall risk. First of all, many elderly or many people come into these nursing facilities as fall risks.
A lot of them do. A lot of them are fall risks. And the thing that is kind of coming out and that we were kind of focusing on a little bit today is the head trauma that can happen when an elderly person falls. And all it takes is one. But most of the time you're going to find that the fall risk patients tend to actually have more than one fall. They tend to fall frequently if they are not monitored. And there will be basically marching instructions either. If they've been in the hospital before, there will be a hospitalist that will say what their minimum care needs are, or there will be a physician who has said this person is a high fall risk. And that is noted in the chart. It's a part of the marching orders for the facility, whichever facility it is. Usually if you have a severe high fall risk patient, you're going to want to be in a skilled nursing facility because they basically are not allowed to even get out of bed without assistance. And unfortunately, they do get out of bed without assistance, and they fall. And they fall not once, but multiple times a lot of times. And the problem is that things like, for example, there will be a patient that falls and they have an injury that goes unnoted easily because people think, oh, they're elderly, they don't feel good anyway, or maybe the patient is unable to tell them, or the fall has been bad enough that the elderly patient can't actually form the words to say something is wrong. So they basically, they put them back into bed and go, oh, they'll be fine. And then there's a shift change in the medical staff. And the shift change can either mean that, oh, that goes further unnoted that there was a fall and that the patient was found on the floor. In one of the cases that I was reading recently, it wasn't my own case, but it was somebody else's, and they were saying that, you know, the elderly patient had fallen, and they put him back into bed and did not note that he was non-responsive. So when the next shift came on and they found that this patient was non-responsive, of course they freaked out and called 911, and the ambulance came, and come to find out the man had fallen and hit his head on the concrete and died 2 days later of some severe hematomas in the brain, which is bruising on the brain, swelling on the brain. He had some bleeding on the brain. His skull had actually fractured in two different places, and this went noted by the staff for several hours until the staff changed and the new staff came on, checked on everybody, and noticed that he was non-responsive, and he died a couple days later. And what tends to happen as a lawyer in these situations, and I have dealt with these cases, the really frustrating thing is you have to be prepared for the fact that the documents will be altered, which is against the law.
Backdated particularly.
A lot of times backdated with incorrect information, incorrect information slipped in between the lines somewhere, and the records are to be kept in a very particular manner. So it's a huge red flag to be seeing writing in the margins, writing in a page that slipped in, because these things happen. And a lot of times the owner of the facility, the managers of the facilities will out and out tell you that everything's fine and that there's no problem, but when you start looking into it, you start finding records that have been messed with and aren't correct. The videos often, because a lot of times they do have videos of what's going on in the hallways and in different areas of the facility, and you'll see that those have been messed with. You'll see that the owners and managers and supervising personnel will often say, yeah, we meet the minimums and we exceed them, but when you actually compare nursing hours to what's required, you'll find that a lot of times their nursing hours are below the minimum, and the minimum isn't good enough most of the time. So depending on the level of care needed, this is a really serious, serious problem that's going on. The government is not keeping up with the times. It's not increasing the need for minimum care. And so what happens is you end up with a very bad situation. Elderly patients either die, which happens often, really sadly so, just because they aren't cared for properly, or they suffer further injuries. And it is always, in my experience of these cases, it is always placed as the fault of the elderly person, and it was just an accident that this happened. It is most of the time, or a lot of the time, it is not just an accident. The facility is on notice that they're a fall risk, and when there is a fall risk, certain protocols have to be followed. It's really important that these are followed. Things like they are not to leave the bed without assistance. They're not to get up and transfer without assistance, and that means transfer to a wheelchair or a walker, or to, you know, transfer to the restroom, or a lot of different ways of transferring. They need assistance for this. They are supposed to have alarms on the bed so that the nursing staff notices when they get out of bed, when they're not supposed to. They're supposed to have guardrails on the sides of the bed. And on a case we had recently, they left the guardrail down, even though they knew that our patient had some serious mental issues, mental challenges. She had some diagnoses, and she was a fall risk, and they left the side of the bed down. And did she fall? Yes, she did. And those floors are concrete most of the time.
We're talking today about skilled nursing facilities and senior care facilities and some of the injuries and cases that we've had in this area of the law. And Rachel has had many. I've had a few over the last couple of years, and we're talking about those today. So if you have a question about skilled nursing facilities or senior facilities, give us a call down here at the studio at 636-1350. You can also give us a call down at the office at 707-544-9006. That's 544-9006. I'm Charlie Cochran here with Rachel Erickson, and this is Monday's edition of Ask the Expert.
If you love to cook, then you know the most complete selection of gourmet housewares is at Hardesty's. For four generations, the Hardesty family has been making the kitchen the best room in your home.
Apples, veggies, and berries are ready to harvest. So what are you going to do with your bumper crop? Hardesty's has everything you'll need. Apple peelers and slicers, canning equipment including pressure canners and water bath canners, canning jars, racks of labels, boot mills and strainers, cheesecloths and jelly bags. Your old pressure canner need a tune-up? Hardesty's service department can help with pressure testing and replacement parts. It's never been easier to find everything you'll need to get the job done right. There's no other store quite like Hardesty's, your one-stop shop for canning supplies.
Your culinary toy store since 1924. Hardesty's on the corner of Farmers Lane and Bennett Valley Road in the Farmers Lane Plaza and online at Hardesty's.com.
Hey, my friend's retail store was the victim of IoT password theft.
Yep. Cybercriminals are taking over security cameras, payment systems, and other IoT devices by exploiting vulnerabilities.
What if they target us and our dispersed network?
We're secured with Barracuda. We have advanced firewalls for our sites, enhanced security for our cloud infrastructure, and total email protection.
Such a relief.
Protect your business at Barracuda.com. Barracuda, your journey secured.
Hi, this is Scott Barbieri with Wine Spectrum in Santa Rosa. I recently had a personal injury case handled by Charlie Cochran and his legal team. Charlie and his team kept me informed of my case as it went through litigation. And most important, they return your phone calls. My case successfully settled without trial. If you've been involved in an auto accident, call Charlie Cochran and Rachel Erickson at 707-544-9006.
Call the legal team of Kornblum, Cochran, Erickson, and Harbison today. It's Ask the Expert with attorneys Charlie Cochran and Rachel Erickson on News Talk 1350 and FM 103.5 KSRO. Ask your legal questions by calling the show at 707-636-1350.
Hi, folks. Charlie Cochran live in the KSRO studio with you every Monday from noon to 12:30. I come in here with my partner, Rachel Erickson, and we talk about some aspect of the law. You can also call us at 636-1350 and we'll field your legal question live on the air. Now, today we're talking about skilled nursing facilities and senior care living facilities that are cared for by some type of nursing staff, usually, or some type of professional staff. Now, Rachel, you had one case I remember where the lady came in as a fall risk. She was not supervised. She fell several times. In one of the falls, she actually bent her leg brace, and they tried to bend it back into position.
That's correct. She had some mental issues, and I don't believe she had yet qualified as an elder at the time, but she was a dependent adult, which falls under the same laws in the state of California. And you'll find that lawyers are largely happy to take these cases because there are advanced protections for elderly and dependent adults. But very few attorneys actually know what they're looking for. And yes, I took on that case and we did resolve it much to everybody's satisfaction. And she was a fall risk. She was a known fall risk. They did not have an alarm on her bed. They did not put the the side rails on the bed up. So she did get out of bed and fall. There were three documented falls. So I would imagine that there were probably more that were not documented.
What always amazed me about that case is she fell, bent the leg brace, and they tried to put it back into position.
They did, yes. She had broken her leg before and was very difficult in the hospital because of her mental issues. The hospitalist actually said they weren't sure that she should have been released at all, but they kind of needed the room in the hospital. So they put her in a skilled nursing facility, and she fell several times. And one of the falls, she did bend the brace that was there to try and keep her fractured leg straight so that it could heal. And the metal on the brace actually did bend during one of these falls. And yes, they tried to, rather than calling the ER or a doctor, the staff at this facility just tried to bend it back into place.
And pretend nothing happened.
And luckily the husband was very active in her care and was there every day and noticed and said something. So she was able to get back to the hospital, but damage was already done and she should not have been out of bed without assistance. And she had fallen on the floor directly getting out of bed. She should not have been getting out of bed at all. The bed rails were not up and she was on the floor and she had tried to scoot herself to the restroom and further damaging her leg. And she was there for some time. It's hard to tell exactly how much because the documentation is not clear, which is supposed to be. So a lot of problems with that case, and we did resolve it satisfactorily.
Now you've mentioned the fall risk. There's also the type of cases where somebody's either over-medicated or under-medicated.
Well, and I wanted to talk for a little bit because we don't have as much time as I would like, but yeah, the medications are a huge issue, need to be looked at, need to be monitored, make sure they're being administered at the right time by the right person and in the right amounts, because that causes problems. And over-medication or under-medication, pain, discomfort can cause fall risk patients to get up out of bed and fall, resulting in often head traumas, and especially with dementia patients. Dementia patients often will try to do things that they aren't supposed to do, which is get out of bed when they're a severe fall risk and fall and injure their head. And a lot of times with the head trauma, it's hard to tell that there has been a head trauma in a dementia patient because these symptoms can be similar to dementia, and head trauma can actually accelerate dementia. So that's really difficult. And one of the cases I did want to talk about briefly, because we are getting up to the statute of limitations for fire victim claims. And one of the fire victim claims that has not been addressed as much as it should be, especially by, well, the media has covered it some, but it should be addressed a little more often, are, you know, some of the elder issues that happened with elder care during the fires. As we all know, certain facilities had to be evacuated, including Kaiser, had to be evacuated, and there were some skilled nursing facilities and residential care homes, both, that had to be evacuated. And some of them were done less than properly. And of course, it's an emergency situation, so there was a lot of confusion and difficulty. And for most of the patients and the elders that needed the care, the dependent adults that needed the care, most of them came through it okay. And we're not going to get into the journey's end issue. That's something else. We'll talk about that another day. But for example, there was one that I know of, and I'm sure that there were many more, where there was a patient who had advanced dementia and was a very severe fall risk, should not have been in a residential care facility at all, should have been in a skilled nursing facility, as the need for care for activity daily needs was not being met even at the residential care facility. Severe dementia, so very easy for this patient to feel lost and confused. So when the fires happened and they evacuated and took them down to the fairgrounds as an emergency place to be, and safe, or so they said. And what ended up happening to some of these patients is the fall risk, the dementia risk, all the risks flew out the window. The care dropped to almost non-existent, even though the nurses and the care facility providers were sometimes there. They did not continue with the level of care that was needed. There were no beds with rails. There were people not paying attention to the fall risks. They were put in single cots, just a cot to lay on to sleep, and therefore could get up at any time that they chose with no supervision at all. And there have been severe injuries from fall risk patients during the fire evacuations that would get up out of bed and fall and suffer head trauma. There have been some deaths and some severe injuries as a result of these patients that, you know, are having some dementia issues anyway. They're lost, they're confused, and they would be even in a normal setting, but within this huge chaos, it was this huge storm inside their heads where they could not function, and the nursing facilities or the residential care facilities that were supposed to be monitoring them did not make sure that there was a heightened level of care to make up for the fact that there were no bed rails, to make sure that these people were not put into worse positions than they had been in before. So what ended up happening is we had several falls, elderly people being injured, re-injured, further injured, and our statute of limitations is coming up on these fire victims. So if you have a family member or a friend who was in a skilled nursing facility or in a residential care facility, and you think that maybe they've suffered through some of this elder abuse, you need to see an attorney, because they meaning the care owners, tend to not be on the up and up in disclosing what has happened, and often go without testing to find out if this person that was found on the floor actually has suffered further injury, such as refracturing a leg or having a head injury, bleeding on the brain, skull fractures, things like that that go undiagnosed. So if you have a loved one or an elderly or dependent adult friend who is in one of these facilities and you notice that perhaps they were much worse after the fires, yes, perhaps the defense, the care facilities will say, well, it's just the confusion and the trauma. And yes, it can be emotional trauma, but it can also be a direct physical trauma by the facilities actually not rising to the level of care that is mandated by the government and required by California Code of Regulations, the Welfare and Institutions Code, the Health and Safety Code. I mean, I can go on and on and on about all the things. I could spend hours just on the requirements that are in place that have to be followed, and it's not easy to find, but you can find where they've fallen below those standards.
Now, Rachel, in these final minutes here, we could mention that some of these facilities are insured and some of them are not insured. And so we're sometimes working with an insurance company, but sometimes we're working just with an owner of multiple nursing facilities that's self-insured.
Yes, and you see that a lot. And you can actually go online and find out if you have to place one of your loved ones into one of these facilities. You can go online for the skilled nursing facilities and you can see how many complaints have been issued about this. And when you see that, you will see that there are multiple complaints every year. And those are just the ones that have risen to the level of complaining. There's a lot that don't complain. So you know that there are problems in these facilities often.
The state takes records of those inspections and
they do, and they fine them. They do find them. So, you know, the Department for Social Services is one of the places that does inspect and take reports and take complaints. So if you have that, make sure to make your complaint known.
We've been talking today about nursing facilities and senior care facilities. Please give us a call down at 544-9006. I'm Charlie Cochran with Rachel Erickson, and this is Monday's edition of Ask the Expert.